More details have come out about the television broadcast of Cubs games, and many fans outside of Chicago are left wondering how they're going to watch a good portion of Cubs games over the next few years. On this episode, we'll do our best to get you up to date with the television contracts and explain what it means to you. The Cubs have some players that are playing in winter leagues, including Javier Baez, and we will give you the updates on how they're doing. The Rule 5 draft happened last week, and we'll tell you who the Cubs lost and gained in this draft. We'll also talk about the updated Wrigley renovation plans. We will answer listener questions and announce the winners of Michael from Colorado's Sandberg and Maddux rookie card giveaway. All of these things and more on this episode. It is December 14th, 2014, and you're listening to the 286th episode of the Ivy Envy Podcast. Hi, and welcome to this week's episode of the Ivy Envy Podcast. I'm one of your co-hosts. My name is Corey, and joining me through Google Plus, the other two hosts of this podcast.
Hey, it's Andy.
And this is Kurt.
Because we use Google Plus, we're able to stream these recordings live in video. And if you go to ivmv.com/live at 8:30 p.m. Central on Sunday evenings, you can watch this thing live. And there's also a chat for you to log into and talk with other people that are watching live. And we're really bad at keeping an eye on the chat, which is too bad because there's usually a good discussion going on there, and I see it afterwards, and people are chiming in with things we're talking about and probably should are worth mentioning on the podcast. So we'll try to get better at that. I usually also things I forget to do. I forget to mention that you can find us on Facebook and Twitter. And I realize I think I leave that out of a lot of episodes, but obviously ivmv.com/Facebook, and we are at ivmv on Twitter. I think this is going to be a longer episode. I was thinking about this today, and in previous off seasons, we were able to make these off season episodes about 30 minutes long. And then as I was putting this together, I was thinking this off season has been more fun to talk about than the previous few regular seasons.
It's definitely been less, we've had to do less digging to, you know, come up with stuff to talk about.
Right. Like this Wrigley renovation thing, we should have talked about either last episode, maybe even the episode before. This is like almost 2 week old information, but I still wanted to talk about it.
Yeah. The topics are just falling into our lap. You're right. Our labs, they're not hard to find.
Yeah,
it's like plucking the low hanging.
But usually what we say though, Corey, is this should be a pretty quick episode, and then it goes like an hour and a half. So you just said this might be a long episode, so we should be done hopefully in 20 minutes.
Yeah, we'll just fly through. There's no opinion. We'll just tell the information and no input from us on it. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, before we get into the topics for this week's episode, you have less than 1 week to enter the contest for two passes to Cubs Convention. We have two passes to give away, and to enter to win these passes, you need to email us the answer to your answer to the following question: who would you bring with you to Cubs Convention and why? And email your response to Corey@ivmv.com, Corey. We already have a good number of entries, and because they come to me, and I do see the names, but when we pick a winner, I will not show the names to Andy and Kurt, so you don't have to worry about, you know, we picking someone we know or anything like that. So everybody's got an equal chance. And the deadline to email these in is Saturday, this upcoming Saturday, December 20th at midnight Central Time. So on next week's episode, we'll read a few of our favorites and then read the winning entry. And thanks to the Cubs for working with us on this giveaway. And I'm really looking. Cubs Convention's coming up quick, you know, with the holidays coming up, like just January seems so far away, but you know, this thing's only a month away, and Andy, you and I are going to be there with our wives, and Kurt will be changing dirty diapers.
Yeah, that is accurate. That is what, because I will, well, not yet, but there'll be a time where I'll be off work I won't be working, but I will be changing poopy diapers.
Sounds Fudge. Like fun.
Yeah, and the same with when you guys are at spring training. So
we'll try not to rub it in. Just don't pay attention to our no, Instagram won't. Feed. I rub it in every
you
week.
You already are. It's brutal.
I rub it in every single week.
I'm hoping I don't have to change Corey's dirty diapers. So.
I am so left out in this, on the three of us. You guys are just running off with all the money.
All right. Well, at the end of the show, instead of the song that we typically play at the end of the show, for this episode, I'm going to play Lester Day. And I'm sure a lot of you have already seen this. A month or 6 weeks ago, I talked with Danny Rocket here on the podcast about the Wrigley renovations, and he created this song. I guess you'd call it, is it a spoof? A parody? I'm not sure what the preferred term is, but it's a parody of the Beatles song Yesterday. So stick around and hear that at the end. It's pretty good. So let's jump into things. Kurt, you wrote a post on the website about the changes in the television broadcasts of games starting this next season, the 2015 season. Based on the number of comments on that post, I think that that post has more comments in 24 hours than any other post or podcast episode we've ever done.
Winner.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, if you hear things on our podcast episodes and you have opinions on those topics, please share those with us and other listeners. You can post them on our Facebook page under the status where I share the post for this episode. Or you can post them, directly on the website underneath that post. I think there's a lot of confusion with this issue, and I think that some people are confused why this is happening, why it's happening now. And I think, you know, there's confusion all the way down to the fact that there are two separate WGNs. And there's the over-the-air WGN 9 local in Chicago, and then there's WGN Superstation, and that's where the Cubs have been for decades. So, Kurt, just clear up all this muddy water for us.
Yes. Here's your 20-minute episode right here. It is very confusing. So if you're confused, you should not feel bad about, you know, being confused, because it's kind of a mess. Fingers later, but right now I'll try to give you a recap of where we stand. And again, I have to admit too, like, I could be wrong, and if you know something different, please chime in. But this is kind of the way I see it. So I'm going to start with what we know and what's not going to change. And that's Comcast SportsNet will continue to air approximately 80 games. That 80 game number came from their website, so that's what I understand. So, you know, if you already have Comcast SportsNet, you'll be able to watch half the games in the same manner you did last year. So that's what we know will be the same. What's going to be different is the Cubs are no longer working with WGN Superstation, which is the one that if you live outside of Chicago, you probably get on your cable or satellite.
Right, when you're flipping through the stations and they're not showing a Cubs game, but they're showing the New Adventures of Old Christine or America's Funniest Home Videos.
How I Met Your Mother is their other favorite. So if you're a Superstation subscriber, that was really kind of, I mean, let's just forget about WCIU. That's a handful of games. But that was kind of the other half of the game. So that contract's gone. And what the Cubs have done in the last week, they signed a deal with WLS, which is the Chicago ABC station, to air over the air 25 games. So what that means for you, if you live outside of Chicago, is you won't get those games. There's no sugarcoating it. You're probably not going to get those games, and your proximity to Chicago may affect that slightly. I really have no idea if it's even a possibility, but it might get picked up by an affiliate. Like if you live in the Quad Cities, the ABC affiliate there might air that on like a 9.2 or what, I don't remember what number they are.
I think it's 8.3. You
know, right. The 0.2, the 0.3 channels. There's a chance. And again, we don't know the details of these contracts. So like I wrote in the post, I would encourage you to, you know, reach out to your local ABC affiliate and ask if they're planning to air those games or if they even can. And so with those 25 games, so we have, you know, 50 plus games still on the table that the Cubs haven't signed a deal for. And it looks like those games are going to go to WGN 9 local, which is only in Chicago, not your superstation like we talked about. And so more than half of the Cubs games will only be available to people living in the Chicagoland area. And so that's kind of where we stand without more details coming. Excuse me. So your options are, really, you can move to Chicago, which most of us aren't going to do. And then there's MLB TV, which is going to, if you live within the blackout area, you're going to get blacked out from every Cubs game. And I live in Iowa, so I'm blacked out from the Cubs plus five other teams. And if you live in Illinois, you're probably,
I think, Cubs,
Cardinals,
Brewers.
Right.
I think those are the three.
Right. So it's really not an option unless you're willing to look. If you're sort of tech savvy, there are ways around it. And I'm not going to detail those. Like I said in the post, too, I don't know the legality of all that. So I'm not going to give advice on what you should or shouldn't do in that department. But there are ways around the MLB blackout. Or like I've said before, is, you know, contact your affiliate and see if it's even a possibility to air those games.
Right.
But at the end of the day, this does really affect the outside of Chicago Cubs fan.
Right. So before I forget, you talked about contacting your local affiliates and stuff. So, you know, so that would be, let's just use the Quad Cities as an example, because that's where we're from. I know that WQAD Channel 8 has aired the WCIU games on that 8.3 station before and since.
Yeah, that's how I watched all the WCIU games last season.
Right. And so since WLS 7 in Chicago is ABC, I would suggest contacting the ABC affiliates, you know, in your town. And then also, the WGN 9, that is the same, you know, they're owned by the same group as the CW, which I think are pretty much it's in every market. So that's probably where I would start is, you know, start emailing or calling your local ABC and CW stations now, see if they can pick those games up.
Right. Or at least make them ask, you know,
right.
Cause what's going to happen is you may contact them. They're going to be like, we don't know. Cause
right.
You know, this contract was just signed in the last week. They're not, probably not going to know, but start, you know, put some pressure on them.
And I think you'll probably find that when trying to deal with, you know, media is so bare bones right now. Like you'd probably be lucky to get somebody on the phone. But in the CW, I think is usually kind of affiliated with their Fox, aren't they? It seems like they're all kind of part of the same group, but I mean, honestly, I would think, you know, if you live in a small enough area, I would, you know, I think that you like asking and bringing it to their attention and having other Cubs fans bring it to their attention. I mean, if they think people are going to watch their show, you know, like for instance, in the Quad Cities, who watches 8.3 and nobody watches it, but if there's Cubs games on it, people are going to watch it. So, you know, this might be
them to air it, you know, right, if they're able to.
And so this might be an example of when something like a petition might actually work. I've never really put much stock in petitions, but something like this might work and the stations could be receptive to it. And I think
sorry to interrupt you, but this will all hinge on their ability to do it. You know, because the details of the contract haven't come out yet.
I guess I look at if and I'm not sure who, like WCIU, I don't even know what that is. But I think if our local ABC affiliate was able to get those mm-hmm. games, I would think they could get it from an ABC station.
Right. Right. And keep in mind, that's only 25 of the games. There are still that other 50 plus games on the table, or around 50. I don't know if it's 45 to 50, because I don't know how many games WCIU is getting next year.
I don't think they're out of it now.
Okay. So, I mean, you know, my math says, you know, that's 57 games left. And if those go to WGN 9 local, that's a bigger chunk than right. those 25. So, you know, and that hasn't been determined yet.
Right. So that WGN 9, I mean, that's where, yeah, just contact your local CW. I mean, I would think that's a place to start. I'm not an expert with this stuff.
One other thing I kind of forgot to point out, and that is that if you don't live in Illinois, Iowa, maybe Wisconsin, Indiana, if you don't live there, you can get MLB TV and watch Cubs games. You don't have an issue. You won't be blacked out, and you can check the map online. But if you do live in those states, that's when you're going to have to sort of resort to this guerrilla warfare of contacting your local station, trying to figure out how you can watch this. Because if you're not willing to circumvent the blackout, there is no way you can watch these games, as far as I can tell. If your local channel doesn't pick them up, you will not see these games. And so, you know, your only option then would be to get MLB TV and you know, try to find a way around it, which, like I've pointed out, doesn't seem to be legal, but it's not like you're, you know, robbing a bank.
Right. And that, I mean, I think that's what I'm leaning towards doing. And what is MLB.tv? 150 a year or something? 130?
130.
Yeah. Maybe. And so, I mean, for us, you know, we have DirecTV. And basically the reason that we have DirecTV is so that I can watch all the Cubs games. And to get CSN and WGN, you have to have like the third tier of, you know, their packages. So honestly, I mean, $130, that's how much our DirecTV bill is a month. And if I can pay for Cubs baseball for a year with that and, you know, kind of find ways around the blackout, I think that's kind of what I'm leaning towards doing.
Yeah. Yeah. It's what I did last year. And it worked pretty well. You got to have a pretty good internet connection with really consistently high speeds to get it done. And I should point out to you, you've got to be fairly technically savvy. You don't have to know how to program a website or anything, but you do need to know, you've got to be pretty good at troubleshooting, because there's going to be days when you sit down to watch the game and you're trying to stream it and something goes wrong and you're just, you know, you're swearing at your whatever it is you're streaming it through. And so you have to kind of be willing to troubleshoot. And if you don't put yourself in that category, I wouldn't enter it. But I guess at the same time, is you don't really have any other option.
Well, so. You know what? I'm kind of looking forward to maybe listening to a few more games on the radio.
Right. Well, and there's your other option. For $20 a year through MLB, you can listen to every game in English or Spanish, home or away.
Right.
So, That's a good deal.
Does that come with the MLB.tv package? It does, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So if you buy MLB TV, you get the app, the access to the app,
and also the audio app.
Streaming. Yep.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there's still, even though there are other options. I mean, if you have to watch it on TV, this could be a rough few years. And that's kind of the other thing I pointed out, is that this is all kind of growing pains of, you know, streaming is really pushing on traditional media, satellite and cable. And then, you know, you just have to be blind not to see that. But these are growing pains of that process of changing to a new system. But it kind of sucks that we're entering a really exciting time as a Cubs fan. And in the next, you think about the next 5 years, are kind of the 5 years, and you don't have to watch this.
Yeah, why couldn't this have happened like the last 5 years?
Exactly. And it sucks, and you have the right to be pissed, and so you should, you know, find whatever means you can to talk to people and say, hey, I want to watch these games. What can I do?
Right.
But it really boils down to MLB is the one who controls the streaming rights. So if you know, contact them too. It's not going to do any good. I mean, there are lawsuits pending right now about MLB TV and the blackout. But, you know, MLB TV or MLB Advanced Media controls the streaming rights, not the Cubs. So, again, I'm not acquitting the Cubs of any fault here, but at the same time, they do not control the streaming rights. So they can't just say, hey, everybody outside of Chicago, just stream it online. They can't do that.
Right.
And I think if they could, they might.
Well, and when I went to the bloggers forum that the Cubs had with Crane Kenny, I mean, they know, like, he knew this issue. He knew the issue with. I mean, he talked about how I believe he said that like the NBA has done away with the blackouts for, you know, streaming from their paid service or whatever. And that baseball is behind. He said by the time the Cubs do their big contract in what, 2019 or 2020, that you will be able, he believes that you will be able to stream whatever game you want from whatever device you want, wherever right. you are. And
I think that's absolutely going to happen, but that's a long ways away.
Right. Yeah. And, this stuff, I mean, when we started blogging and podcasting on the Cubs, I mean, baseball stuff was MLB. It was so locked down. You couldn't even embed a highlight, you know, in a blog post, a video highlight. You couldn't do anything. Anything that was put on YouTube was taken down. And so they're very slow to, I guess, figuring out how all this is going to work and slow to adapting to these new ways of, you know, delivering content or whatever. But so I guess, well, Kurt, you kind of touched on this, but a lot of fans see this situation as the people that, let me rephrase this. The people that do not like the Ricketts and do not like this front office see this as the perfect opportunity to rail about, you know, their greed and stuff like this. Who's at fault? I know my opinion.
But I think it's what you're trying. It's easy to say the Cubs don't care about their fans. This deal makes it pretty easy to say on a surface level that the Cubs are screwing every fan that does not live in Chicago or the suburbs. And I think I could, you know, I sympathize with people who can come to that conclusion. And it's kind of hard to take the side of the, you know, the big guy. I mean, the Cubs are, you know, they should be able to fix this. They're the Cubs.
Right.
But the reality is that they can't. The WGN National Superstation deal was losing money for WGN. WGN didn't want that deal. So it's not just the Cubs. They were paying, I think, $250,000 a game.
Right.
And they were losing somewhere in the neighborhood of $200,000 for every game they aired. So from the business side, that deal just was not going to continue. And so nostalgia would love to have us keep that and for everybody wherever they were to be able to watch the Cubs. But, you know, business doesn't operate that way. And so businesses aren't going to continue to lose money. And so now what they've done is signed with ABC7 for $750,000. I think that's the number.
Yeah, it is.
So the Cubs are making a lot more money. So they'd be stupid not to. But at the same time,
but it's important to remember that WGN America are the ones that ended this deal.
Right.
And Major League Baseball makes it technically impossible to stream Cubs games from the Midwest. You know, like, I mean, both of those issues are kind of out of the Cubs' hands. Now, at the same time, like you mentioned, Kurt, it works into the Cubs' advantage money wise because for, you know, that's $500,000 a game more going to the Cubs. But I don't, you know, the Cubs want their fans to be able to watch their games. Right. This isn't like the Cubs having their own subscription thing where you have to pay them to watch your games. You know, the Cubs want, especially now when their team is starting to get exciting, they want a buzz around the Midwest. They want to like energize their fan base. And so this is not a good situation for them either right now.
No, it's a really layered blame issue. You can't point to one and say it's their fault because
I think you can point to MLB pretty easily.
I think you can because they have the keys to a pretty easy solution. They have the keys to say, all right, everybody, go ahead and stream it. But at the same time, the Cubs had deals that with two different entities for TV broadcasting that ended at two different times.
Right, right.
And so that's what we're dealing with. So we got a deal that's done that's not going to continue. So you've got to have a stopgap for 5 years. You have to have a five-year stopgap until through 2019. And so, you know, there's, I guess, some blame there. I mean, they couldn't foresee these issues when they signed those deals. Because as long as WGN and CSN were working together, it all worked. But now that the deal's done, it's not working. So, yeah, there's some blame on the Cubs. I don't think you can take it all off them. But for the most part.
But I think you can blame the Cubs for maybe not negotiating the best deals at the right times.
But then again, you have to, you know.
But it's not their greed right now, no, which is what I think a lot of fans want to act like. Oh, great, they're taking this away from us.
Right. So, yeah, these are business. And that's what, it's hard to separate business decisions from baseball decisions. But these are business decisions. And, yeah, the fans are going to suffer because of business decisions. But I think what it boils down to is that if the Cubs had an option to make these games available to everyone, they probably would take that option. But there is no option.
Right.
To make the games available to everyone.
Right, because there aren't. If you take out WGN America and you take out TBS, I don't know what other stations are available, you know, across the different platforms of cable and satellite and everything that would show Cubs games. I don't know. Why didn't they work a deal out with the Weather Channel?
Right.
You know, I mean, there just aren't options.
It feels kind of gross to be taking the side of big business, but for the people, you know, in whatever place that had WGN in America that are complaining, it's like we weren't supporting it enough. Like we weren't making them enough money for it to continue. So for all the people that say like it really should, you know, the Cubs are ruining their national fan base. Well, guess what? National fan base, it wasn't making them any money. And that's how business works.
It wasn't like, making WGN money.
Right, but in turn, the Cubs, you know, it's if a game is being broadcast nationally and it costs the cable entity $250,000 and they can't sell ads to cover $250,000, that means nobody's watching.
Right.
And as much of the diehards like us that are watching and want to say it has to, you know, why can't this continue? Well, it just can't. It's just not the, you know, the world we live in now. And enough people weren't watching to sell enough Budweiser and Pepsi ads to make it worthwhile. And that's why it ended, really. I mean, if you boil it down to the business side, it's not like the Cubs ending it because they just didn't like WGN. It just didn't make the money. And that's kind of, it sucks. No other way to put it. It sucks, but it has to be.
Right.
So.
Yeah. Well, I guess we've gone quite a while on this one topic, and I think, you know, there are going to be developments in this situation, and we're going to talk about it here on the podcast. I guess because we are Quad Cities based, even though two of us don't live in the Quad Cities, you know, this is something that, like, I plan to kind of, you know, if you live in the Quad Cities and you're concerned about this, get in contact with me. I'm going to reach out to ABC, WQAD, and the CW affiliate in the Quad Cities. And so, I don't know, this, like I said, this might be a situation where something like a petition would work at the local level. You know, if they think people are going to watch it, they might do it. Right. Now the bad thing is that they're not going to. A lot of these games on these other networks, I think, will more likely be day games and weekend games, because I don't think they're going to, well, yeah, because they're not going to want to give up their, you know, their prime time network shows. You know what I mean? People got to watch the Vampire Diaries, you know? So, but that's where I think a lot of those night games will end up on Comcast, on TSN, which works well because a lot of us aren't able to watch games during the day, but we are at night. So I do think that you will get to, I think a lot of the games you wouldn't be able to see if you work a 9-to-5 job are probably going to be on those other networks, but I don't know. That's just kind of speculation, I guess.
Yeah.
Sorry. Go ahead.
No, I don't have a whole lot more to add. I would say if you live in Eastern Illinois, get a really good over the air antenna if you don't want to have cable. But for the rest of us, it's going to be, we'll have to figure it out as we go.
Right. And we're going to be talking about it on here and talking about the different solutions and stuff like that, and hopefully we can, I don't know, I just want to watch my Cubs.
But the reality is you probably won't be able to watch all of them, but think about how spoiled we are.
I was just thinking about that. Yeah,
you want to watch every single game regardless of where we live, and and you know, we want to watch all of them where, you know, this wasn't a reality in the very recent past, even if you had WGN. I mean, what are the chances you watched every single game of any team?
Right. Well, can you imagine? I mean, other than radio, but I don't know if there was many like Cubs radio affiliates back then, but could you imagine like back before they were really on TV, you know, back, I mean, they were available in Chicago on WGN, but like before cable, I mean, you would follow your team by reading the box scores in the morning or going to a game. Like, you know, you get to go to a game and I don't know. It's just so crazy to think about how you're right. We actually have a really pretty, even if we're not able to watch all these games, we still have a pretty good setup, I guess. First world problems, I guess.
Yeah.
Okay. So this is kind of a related topic. This is from Jeremy. He posted it on our Facebook page. It says he lives in Arizona and can no longer get extra innings. I guess he says, I guess I will be MLB.tv. What do I need to know about it? Good and bad. Tell me now, Kurt.
All right. So Jeremy, if you live in Arizona, get it. No questions asked. No problems. It's totally worth the $130. You can watch every team, every market. Well, I don't know what the Arizona Blackhawks
I think
are.
It's Arizona and San Diego.
Yeah, you're going to be blacked out from the Diamondbacks. So if the Cubs play the Diamondbacks, you're going to be in trouble. But
you can watch that on your local
right
station out there.
Get it. If you don't live in the blackout area, get it. It's awesome. It's awesome. If you can eliminate blackouts from MLB TV, it is awesome. It's so worth $130. You know, watch the games on your phone, your iPad. If you have a Roku, which I have, stream the games. You can choose radio broadcasts and it will sync to the TV broadcasts.
So really?
You can listen to Pat and Ron and it automatically syncs it for you. I mean, it's so good. It has so much going for it. If you watch on your computer, you can have live stats pop up. You can have multiple games going. It's amazing if you can eliminate the blackout.
But you're also saying you need fast internet.
Right. If you have consistent...
define fast. Like,
if you have 10 megabits a second download consistently, like not peaking up and down, you should be okay. I think they'd probably tell you it's like in the 6 to 7 range, but I have like 25, 26, and it's pretty solid. I don't get any interruptions. Once in a while, I have like a reload, a buffering, but that's rare.
If you're still hearing, welcome, you've got mail, then it's probably not when you log on. It's probably right. Not for you.
If you got a CD in the mail with like 250 free hours of internet, not for you. But yeah, you live in Arizona, you should be good to go. Just get MLB TV. You don't have to have any blackout workaround or anything. You can just go for it.
Yeah. While we're on the topic of broadcasts and stuff, the situation with the radio broadcast is a lot more clear at this point. You'll probably remember that the Cubs WGN radio contract ended this year. And I'm bringing this up because I had a discussion on Twitter about the radio stuff today with Justin, who lives in the Peoria area. So the Cubs will now be on the CBS affiliate radio affiliate, WBBM. If you live downstate, WBBM signal isn't quite as strong this direction. It's not as strong as WGN's was. And I don't know, I would guess if you live 2 or 3 hours or more outside of Chicago, you probably won't be able to pick up WBBM. Maybe 3 or 4. I don't know. I think I'm kind of like right at the cutoff. As I mentioned, there are most areas of Illinois and Iowa, parts of Indiana are covered by local affiliates that are in the Chicago Cubs radio network. So if you're in the Quad Cities, you probably listen to the Cubs on 1170 rather than 720 because it just came in better. It's 96.5 in Peoria that plays the Cubs games, and there are local affiliates all over. And my understanding is the broadcast with those affiliates will not change. If you don't live in Chicago, I can't really see the impact of this change from WGN radio to WBBM. And I think in Chicago, your only change is going to be that you have to turn it to a different, you might have to change your preset, I guess, your favorite. Right.
Or if you don't live in Chicago and you do have access to internet,
right.
And, or a smartphone or something like that, get the the MLB audio, not the TV, but the audio. That's $20 for the whole year. You get every game, every team.
Right. I mean, I can pick the Cubs up on multiple stations where I live. I still subscribe to that. Just so I can, you know, that way I don't have to try to find like a Walkman or something to walk around with. I can just plug it into my phone. It works a lot better.
Yeah. And that's a good value. I mean, for $20 to get it all, you get it in Spanish, in English, whatever you want.
Yeah. All right. Well, I get, like I said, I'm sure we're going to come back to this topic over the next couple months. So in the meantime, let's talk about real baseball. The winter leagues have started up. There is an Australian Baseball League, the Dominican Winter League, the Mexican Pacific League, and the Puerto Rican League, and the Venezuelan Winter League. And the purpose of these different leagues basically is to keep the development of players continuing. So, Andy, what Cubs players are participating in these leagues, and how are they doing?
Well, first let me start by saying I'm not going to go through the entire list because it turns out there are about 21 players in total.
I would like to know how each of them are doing, Andy.
Okay, here's how you or anyone who's listening can do that to find out how everybody is playing. Is you go to MLB.com and then you find the stats. You mouse over the stats, tab at the top and click on off-season leagues. And then from there, you can sort by affiliate, and it will give you a page that has a list of all of the Cubs players, players who are in the Cubs system who are playing in these off-season leagues, and will tell you all their stats. So, like I said, there are quite a few. I was surprised. Like, I started to actually type in names and how they're doing, and then I didn't realize how exhaustive the list was. But a few notables, I guess, just to talk about a few here. People are kind of keeping an eye on Junior Lake, kind of wondering what his future is with the team. And he's playing in the Dominican Winter League. And he has a really odd stat line. He's hitting .246, but he has a .396 on base percentage, which is pretty obscene. But then also just a .357 slugging percentage. So he's not really hitting for any power, and with all of these, it is a fairly small sample size, but Junior Lake has 126 at-bats under his belt, and so he has pretty high number of walks, 26 walks in those 126 at-bats, but then also he's maintaining that pretty ridiculously high clip of striking out. He has 46 strikeouts in the 126, so... I don't know. I think, you know, his future with the team is pretty murky. But it's interesting that he is getting on base at a pretty high clip.
I wonder if the increased walks has something to do with pitch control in that league. But
yeah, I noticed Carlos Marmol is pitching down. I forget if it's the Dominican. Yeah, it is the Dominican now that I think about it. But
speaking of pitcher control.
Yeah. Right. It's hilarious to see some of the names that are pitching, you know, that are just playing in general down there. I mean, Zambrano's playing in Venezuela.
Isn't Manny playing in a league?
Yeah, Manny's playing too. He's hitting fairly well also, but
to celebrate, but yeah, so there's guys. To celebrate, I'm wearing my Manny Wood shirt.
So that's Lake. You have Arizmendi Alcantara is playing down there, and he's playing really well. His slash line is .317 average, .379 on base, and .517 slugging. So he's playing well in all facets, basically. Valbuena's playing in Venezuela, and he's not playing very particularly well, but he only has 42 at-bats. So, you know, I don't know how much credence you can give to these numbers, but he's hitting .238. And with a .304 on base percentage, which seems really low for him. So I found that on base percentage for Valbuena to be kind of notable. Javier Baez is playing in Puerto Rico. He only has 11 at bats, but he's off to a torrid start. He's hitting .364 in 11 at bats. And it's not even worth.
I don't know if it has today's stats, but I think today, I know he hit one home run, and I think he went 2 for 4 with 2 strikeouts.
Okay. But he still has 6 strikeouts in those 11 at bats, as far as my numbers are concerned. I don't know if that includes today, but and Christian Villanueva, also kind of a guy we're wondering how he fits in the future. He's, you know, we know that he's a good defensive third baseman, but he's hitting for some power down there. He's hitting .242, but he has in 124 at bats, he has 7 homers and 17 RBIs. So I'm kind of interested to keep an eye on him and see how he fits in with the future of this team, you know, especially with Chris Bryant looming on the horizon. I guess other than that, a lot of the names are other just kind of lower level players. One guy worth noting too, I guess, is Joe Ortiz. As far as pitchers, he was picked up on waivers, and he probably will be in the mix for a bullpen position. And he's pitching fairly well in Venezuela also. So, but anyway, like I said, you know, go to the MLB.com site, and you can find the off-season leagues page and easily find all the Cubs system players and their stats.
Right. So.
Sorry, I just have one more sort of follow-up question. Did it say, or have you read anywhere, and I don't know the answer to this question, but like the winter leagues, do they sort of equate to a minor league level? I mean, is this like single A? Are we talking rookie ball? I mean, I kind of wonder that.
Yeah.
I don't know if anybody sort of evaluates that. But
yeah, I think it's a strange mix, honestly. I mean, like I said, these guys are seeing pitching, you know, from MLB vets who are just, you know, I don't know, maybe hoping, you know, keeping sharp for one or two more seasons in the bigs, or, you know, guys that aren't even planning on playing in the big leagues anymore. You know, like Zambrano perhaps, or, you know, Carlos Marmol. But then, you know, you have all these system players too. So younger players, guys like the Cubs have guys all the way from, you know, from the low minors, you know, talking about like Daytona, Myrtle Beach, and all the way up to guys who play have played for Iowa, like Jeffrey Antigua. So it's kind of a really strange mix. I think if you were to just say,
it's like summer camp, only winter camp.
Right. So if you were to say how it all like kind of averages out, you know, I would imagine it probably equates to a AA or AAA level, you know, AA or AAA level play.
Yeah. The one thing that's, I guess the player I'm most interested in, Junior Lake, obviously, but also Baez, of course. I think it's kind of interesting that the Cubs' new hitting coach, John Mailey, is in Puerto Rico working with Baez. So if you've forgotten, he is a new hitting coach, came from Houston Astros. You know, he'll be working with Baez on the mechanics of his swing and his plate approach. I would say those are the two glaring weaknesses in Baez's game right now. And as far as defensively, they're working him at second and short. So, Andy, you said kind of what you're looking for. I mean, what do you think? I guess I'm more concerned with the number, like his Baez's approach at the plate, like maybe how many pitches he sees per plate appearance, you know, how many walks he can draw, how many strikeouts he has. I'm not really that concerned with, like, you know, him racking up home runs down there.
Exactly. I mean, there's probably for each of these players, you can identify maybe like one or two stat categories just to kind of keep an eye on trends, you know, in those categories. And, you know, some of these guys are racking up, you know, if they're starting, they're racking up some, you know, a decent sample size. But yeah, like you said, I mean, some of the numbers you really have to kind of, I don't know, just take lightly, I guess.
Yeah, I would think you just sort of, like you said, take lightly. But, you know, for a guy like Baez, maybe they just tell him, you go up there and your main goal is pitch identification. So at this count, what are they going to throw next? And
right,
whether you swing at it or not, did you get the pitch right? You know, did you see what's coming? And so the numbers can, I would think, be thrown out for the most part. But yeah, who knows what they're working on?
See, and I think
might be identifying breaking balls when you're down in the count, or, you know, right, we just don't know what they're doing up there.
And I kind of feel like when Baez got called up, I don't think that they really had him. I think they just kind of let him go out and play his game. And, you know, we talked about this when he was going through his high strikeout struggles, you know, and I think it was kind of a, and I don't know this for a fact, but I think they were probably like, okay, just go out there, play your game, and then let him see the improvements that he needs to make, you know, and don't have a coach on him from the second he comes up, like, you know, hounding him about a specific thing. But I think maybe it benefit, if they did it this way, I think it would benefit Baez for actually seeing the things himself that he needed to work on and maybe being a little bit more receptive to coaching and stuff like that. And I think it's a good sign to see the hitting coach has gone down there to really just focus on him. Yeah. Moving on. This issue was on our agenda last week, but we didn't get to it because of the Lester signing, and that's the updates with the Wrigley renovations. At the bloggers forum there with the Cubs, we learned that the outfield bleachers will probably not be done for opening day, and now we're learning about some changes in plans. And it's December, guys. I'm kind of hoping this is the last we hear about plan changes on the construction that's underway right now and needs to be completed in 4 months. Let's just say this is it. So the Cubs will be removing one of the 7 outfield signs and then making another sign smaller. The reason that they're doing this is so that they will be able to preserve federal tax credits. And there were some concerns with the National Park Services that the Cubs are trying to earn a spot. The reason that they were involved is the Cubs are trying to earn a spot on the National Register of Historic Places. So if they're able to earn this designation, then it means a large amount of tax credits on this $600 million project. So the results are that the right field sign will be smaller, lower, and pretty much right up against the foul pole. It's right there in that well area. And then, which I was thinking would be kind of fun because it'll be nice to see, like, Rizzo bouncing home runs off of a sign right down the line. The left field video board is shifted a little more towards center field and the center field scoreboard. And it has a different look. It's kind of hard to describe differences in design over an audio podcast. I guess I would describe it as not as elaborate. I don't know. The previous version, there were lights on top of it, and there was the cursive Wrigley Field on top of it, and those are not there in the newer version. Personally, I kind of preferred the previous version with the lights and the script on top and some structure. I don't even know how you it's not scaffolding, but, you know, some stuff up there. And now that I'm thinking about lights, the lights that were on the original version, I know the lighting will be improved, but I'm not sure if we've seen exactly what that's going to look like. But anyway, so yeah, that's kind of the latest in the ever evolving renovations. I really just don't want any more changes to the out. You know, I don't know. I don't think. It makes me wonder how much different this whole project is going to look. Because right now everything's kind of, I don't know if like the only reason things are changing is because everything kind of changes with that, the deal with the city and the neighborhood and all that kind of stuff. Like, I wonder if all of the other changes that are coming in the, you know, next 3 years are going to be, messed with as much.
I would think so. I mean, if it's this hard to get through the bleachers unchanged and a couple of signs, like, because I think the plans for the main grandstand area are pretty extensive too. So
yeah,
if you're just talking about the bleachers and it's changing, the other stuff is gonna morph as we go too.
So that's what's going on with the renovations. In the month of November, a listener, Michael from Colorado, he was doing the Movember thing to benefit an organization, Voices for Peru, which serves underprivileged kids in Peru. He did something special for IVMV listeners and any listener that donated $10, had their name in a drawing for some Cubs baseball cards, including a Sandberg rookie card and a Maddox rookie card. And your name was in once for every $10 you gave So he had those two cards, and then he brought a variety of other Cubs cards that were given out. And I was able to meet Michael for this little drawing thing. We met for lunch, and it's the first time I'd met Michael, obviously, because he lives in Colorado, but he was in town in the Quad Cities for a family thing. So it was nice to finally meet him, and the two of us and one of his friends did the drawing. So here are the results. Andy, you don't know who you've won yet, right?
I don't know what?
You don't know what cards you won.
No, I don't.
Okay, so I won a Derek Lee card and a Lee Smith card.
Hmm.
And Andy, you won nice little duo here, Ron Say and Ted Lilly.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. What's funny is like when he goes, okay, this one's for Andy, and I was sticking my hand in to pull the card out, and he goes, there's a Lilly in there. It'd be awesome if Andy got Ted Lilly. I pulled it out, and there it was.
Bam. Destiny. And now I can have him sign it at Cubs convention.
Yes.
That's all I've been thinking about is seeing Ted at Cubs convention.
That's all he's
just 24/7. Just I'm going to see Ted.
Oh man. What about Dempster?
No, Ted.
Bob from the UK, he won a Kerry Wood card and then a 68 RBI leaders card.
Wow.
Yeah.
So yeah, what's shipping to the UK for a couple of baseball cards?
Well, Bob said to hold on to it and that we would exchange when we, I guess, meet up for a Cubs game and a beer.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Dawn, she won the Ryan Sandberg rookie card.
Oh, wow. And she's a winner. She wins all kinds of stuff.
I know. Before we drew names, I said, I predict that Dawn will win because it feels like she wins just about everything. She won the Javier Baez Iowa Cubs shirt, and it feels like she won something else.
Yeah. She had won something just previous to that.
Yeah.
Just recently before the shirt.
You know, she deserves it. She's such a good part of the community and
right,
for sure. Quite the contributor to just a lot of things that we do. So
yeah, absolutely. And then the winner of the Greg Maddux rookie card was Danny Rocket. Previously mentioned Danny Rocket. So so that was, you know, thanks to those of you that donated money to Michael for this cause. We did Movember last year, decided not to do it this year. And so it was cool that he did it and we were able to help him out and give him some money to help some kids in Peru that could use the help. Okay. So let's, look at some listener questions. Actually before I do that, I got an email. Remember a few episodes ago, I said something about the international listeners and wondering how they got into the Cubs and how they became Cubs fans from, you know, different parts of the world. And I got an email from James. I believe he's in the UK, and he said that he became a Cubs fan because of Uncle Buck, which I thought was awesome.
Oh, John Candy.
Oh man, I love that movie. All right. So listener questions here. Doug, contributor to the site, he says, what are some Christmas traditions for the IVMV crew? Any Cub related? And he said that he has a Cubs ornament that goes near the top of the tree every year.
I really don't have any. This is a really awesome question, but
yeah.
I really don't have any.
Yeah, I don't. I don't think I have a Cubs ornament either. But I wish I did. I mean, but Corey kind of got me started on recording keeping a Cubs game sitting on my DVR so I can watch it around this time of the year. So I have one there from the Brewers series toward the end of the year. I'm planning on watching at some point soon. But
And speaking of MLB TV, you can watch any game of the year anytime you want.
Oh yeah, just that's so cool.
You don't need DVR because you can watch whatever you want whenever you want. Archives. You can watch last year's games, or well, not last year, but like 2013.
Huh. I don't think I want to relive any 2013 Cubs games. yeah, I have some Cubs ornaments. I think my mom gave them to me last year. They're like the Nutcracker figures, but they're wearing Cubs stuff. I think the only like Cubs related Christmas tradition really is that when my family gets together, we talk about the Cubs. My mom and my aunt and my uncle are all in my cousins and, you know, they're big Cubs fans. So, I guess that's the only way that really the Cubs work their way into my Christmas traditions.
After Notre Dame has been exhausted, the Cubs creep into conversation.
Let's see. Well, Jeremy asked another question about you talking about MLB TV, but I think we kind of covered that already. Josh says, assuming the Cubs stick to the plan and add a veteran outfielder as well as veteran arms to the bullpen, what are realistic expectations for 2015, in your opinion? So, I don't know if we talked about expectations last year after adding Lester, but based on what the team is right now, and if they were to add a veteran outfielder and a veteran arm to the bullpen, what do you think?
Well, I my guess is I would put them at like 85 wins and creeping into wild card contention. And I guess, boy, this is hard.
Well, it's hard because, it's hard because so many of the players that we're counting on to get them to that spot are players we haven't seen play for the team yet and
or play a full season.
Right. I mean, like every single person that would carry the load other than Rizzo and Castro, we're just unsure about. So it's,
and I think it's okay to like, I think wild card contention, it would be pretty exciting. I mean, consider where they finished last year. Wild card contention is pretty good. So I don't know. Don't expect them to win the division, but I think it's okay to expect them to be over 500.
Yeah. Andy, what about you?
Yeah, same thing. I mean, I think if everything kind of falls in line and everything goes according to plan, you know, they're within striking distance of making the playoffs toward the end of the season. But, you know, we've said that in the past, and there's always injuries and, you know, things like that kind of derail their momentum. And so I see them playing, you know, over 500 ball for sure. I think that's just kind of my prediction.
I talked about this with my brother today, because I was telling him, you know, with the White Sox making a lot of moves to become more competitive, we were just kind of talking about, you know, is 2015 look like more the, I guess, just the different ways that these teams are being built, the Cubs and the White Sox. Like, I think that short term, maybe the White Sox have a better chance of having a stronger team, you know, in like 2015. But I don't know. But he asked me, and I said, I kind of guessed like 80 to 85 wins. So I realize that's kind of a big window, but I guess that's where I would put them.
But even at 80, you're 7 games better. And that's pretty damn good. A 1 year improvement. So
yeah. Dawn, previously mentioned Dawn, she says, assuming we keep Travis Wood, and I'd love to know your opinions on that. What do you think our 5-man rotation looks like? Who is the 5th starter? And what happens to the rest of them? The bullpen? We have a lot of starting options right now.
Yeah, well, I counted up the competitors for number 5, you know, and, well, do you guys want to say your 1 through 4? I mean, I guess that's okay, pretty
so
obvious.
I do want, it's like, I want to throw all kinds of like disclaimers and stuff onto this, because it's so, there are so many people competing, and the problem Travis has is that he's left-handed, and so is John Lester. I mean, so you've got some pretty good left-handed competition, but.
Well, okay, so what do you think?
I'm going to say Jackson, number 1.
Done.
Okay, LOLs.
Mark it. Permanent marker. Sharpie.
Sorry, Corey, what are you saying?
Well, I was going to say, do you want to give your, do you guys have an idea of what the rotation will look like?
Yeah. I'll give you guys mine. I have 1 through 4 being John Lester, Jake Arrieta, Jason Hamill, and Kyle Hendricks.
Right.
And then competitors for number 5, I have a list. You have Tsuyoshi Wada, Felix DuBrant, Eric Jokic, Edwin Jackson, Dallas Beeler, Jacob Turner, Travis Wood, and Dan Straley. And I'm guessing
that's
I'm
good.
Maybe good. Even forgetting somebody. But I think it's either Tsuyoshi Wada or Travis Wood, number five. And I really like Jacob Turner. I'd like to see him pitch really well in spring training and see him make a run at number five. But I think it'll end up being Wood or Wada for number five. And I could see Wood getting moved, traded at some point in the near future. So I'm going to lean towards Wada.
I think I have Wood as my number five if he doesn't. My one through four look the same for you. I actually put Hamill at number two and Arrieta at number three.
Oh, geez.
I mean, I think Arrieta is probably more deserving of the number two, but I was just thinking that experience-wise and stuff like that. But I mean, I don't know.
That makes sense.
But I also have Wood, and I think if he's around, he'll probably have that fifth spot.
Yeah, I think I would put Wood at number five to start the season. But I do think by the end of season, he's not in that five spot. I think I'm not convinced Wada is a full season number five guy. I think he pitched really well last year, but I'm not sold on the fact that he can do it again. But I think like a Turner or DuBrant is going to sneak into that five spot and bump Wood out, whether he gets traded or not. But I think he starts at five, but doesn't hold it.
One of the reasons I think that Wada may not be in the rotation is that
incoming joke.
No. Is that okay. he has options left. So of the players in contention, I guess, for the rotation, Hendricks, Jokic, and Wada all have remaining options. Now, I mean, the Cubs gave Wada $4 or $5 million deal, but I don't know. I think,
but he's a great option to have in Iowa. I mean, if you do have options, sure. You have to bump him to Iowa. That's a pretty good option to have there to, if somebody gets hurt or something.
Right.
Well, so, many of those guys we listed have the ability to be sent to Iowa. I mean, there's only a couple that don't. I see Jackson ending up in the bullpen for sure. I will say that.
He's not even.
Yeah. I see him filling the Carlos Villanueva role.
Yeah, that could be. Yeah. But man, wouldn't you? I mean, I would love
cool to think about how solid this rotation is and the fact that there's so much competition for the back end.
I understand. I mean, I kind of get that, but at the same time, it's like there's a lot of competition for the five spot. You know, like, I mean, obviously, I think adding Lester and Hamill makes this pitching rotation a lot. You know, it makes it like, you know, definitely one of the better rotations in the league. But I don't know.
But look, I mean, but we don't know what Turner's going to do. I'm excited about Turner, and Andy's touched on this a lot, but like, that guy's legit. He's a top pick. He's had some rough spots, but he could turn it around. I mean,
a ton of potential.
Yeah, I don't know. I think there's so many options that one of them has to pan out.
And I would love for the Cubs to be able to you know, for some of these guys like Arrieta and Hendricks and Turner and DuBrant. Like I would love to see these guys like turn into like legit number three, number four starters. You know, because then. You know, the Cubs, they don't have to. I mean, I think they'll still maybe want to add another pitcher this next offseason just because some of the options that are out there. But it's not like this year where, like, they needed a number one, you know?
Mm-hmm. But, and getting back to Wood, like, Wood is he's a pretty solid number four. So if he lands at even four or five, like, we're doing okay. I mean, I, like I said, I think he'll start at four or five, but
yeah, I think I just like to see him perform well in spring training. You know, I would love for him to perform like he did in 2013 and then maybe have a team realize that they're weak in pitching towards the end of spring training and they get desperate and the Cubs can, you know, move him for something else that they, you know, a weakness that they have.
As a viewer, I always like watching a Wood start because I like seeing him hit too.
Yeah. moving on, Derek says, if the Cubs are solidly in the playoff race at the trade deadline and have the ability to trade for another top level starter on an expiring contract, David Price, etc., but have to give up someone on the level of Bryant, Russell, Baez. Are you willing to give one of them up?
Hell no.
He says he asked now because he's curious about the answer outside of the emotions of a pennant race.
Hell no.
Yeah.
No way.
That's what I say too.
Yeah. At 2015, do you start selling out?
Yeah, I don't.
For a half a year rental player.
Yeah, they're not going to give up Bryant, Russell, or Baez for a half a season of a pitcher. I mean, I guess it really kind of surprises me that the A's gave up Russell for a year and a half of Samardzija, who they've since traded.
But I don't know. I guess it is an interesting. I like the way he posed the question, you know, outside of the emotion, because the A's were going for it.
And
they sold out, and they knew they were selling out.
But I think the A's
have to sell out.
The A's also had a lot smaller window for that to happen, and that's why they sold out. The Cubs don't, like, you know, we have between now and like 2020, 2021 pretty much set. And so I don't think they're going to sell out for 2015.
And I think it's interesting too, because like we have, like, you know, we have your Russell, your Baez, and your Bryant, but those guys aren't going to be traded. But look at like maybe you trade an Almora for a top level. If you're in contention, maybe you trade a guy like that, or you trade a Vogelbach. But you know, those guys aren't getting dealt for a half a year pitcher.
No. Yeah.
As they get deeper into Lester's contract, I think that the chances of them trading prospects goes up a little bit.
Yeah,
it's hard to even think about these guys being traded.
we don't like to think about it.
Yeah, I think you're right on, Kurt. I mean, I don't think they're gonna, if they had a bunch of main players that were only had a year or two left on their contract, then I could see it. But when you've got just like a crop of young, cheap talent, and you're expecting to compete in 2015, but I think if the Cubs can be in the wild card chase, like you were saying, I think a lot of Cubs fans will see that as, you know, a victory, as a success.
But they'll also be chomping,
right,
to see a deal made at the trade deadline.
Yeah. But I don't think it's those three that you move. Jordan says, does the big spend on Lester speed up Bryant to the majors? That's his first question. What do you guys think?
No.
Yeah, I agree. I don't see Bryant coming up any earlier. I think that stays the same. You agree, Andy? Did he go to the bathroom? Oh, I thought you went to the bathroom.
I don't know. I don't know, man. I think the front office, I think that they will try to maintain that extra year of control. But on the other hand, I could see them burning that, you know, if he's just tearing it up in spring training, appears to be ready to go. I don't know. I have a hard time being so certain as you guys on that, but
I mean, it's I think it's definitely after Super 2, whatever they think the Super 2 deadline is, that it's going to be after that.
Yeah.
Just because of the whole Scott Boras factor.
Right. I think that's a big, big factor. And then his second question is David Ross an upgrade over Castillo if the Cubs sign him? Go ahead.
I don't think so, honestly. I mean, Ross is, what is he, 37? I think he's 30. According to baseballreference.com, he's 37.270 years old. He's a little bit older than me.
Yeah, he's not an upgrade. I think he's just a typical backup catcher. And basically, the Cubs have two starter quality catchers in Montero and Castillo. And so I think if they can get it, you know, I would assume they've got to be shopping Castillo. And if that's the case, then they'll probably sign Ross as their backup.
Right. Like if they're going to get a killer deal on Castillo, then yeah, sure. But If not, I mean, hang on to Castillo, and he, and they already have their veteran catcher in Montero, so there's no sense in adding, you know, having two grizzled veterans.
Well, I just think there's no point in having two starters. So if they can get something for Castillo, then they take it, because imagine if like Schwarber comes up in 2 years and you've got three catchers. I don't know. I kind of don't think Castillo will be with the Cubs come opening day.
Really?
I don't know. I kind of do. I do.
No, me? Yeah.
I do. I think you're going to see some platooning, some lefty-righty platooning. And
I do too.
And they'll move him later, but it won't be before
yeah. this season. Yeah, I suppose. I mean, there's no rush, I guess, if they can just wait until a team needs a catcher.
Yeah.
Tim says, I'm currently living in East Tennessee, so the school I work for is full of Braves and Reds fans, which is terrible. He says it's nauseating. The day after the Lester signing, I started getting you guys are buying a team comments. One horse's ass pokes his head into my room and yells, oh, I don't have it. It cut off.
Go Yankees.
It says go. Okay, you're going to have to read the rest of his.
All right, I'll read the rest of it. Yeah, I'll start with one horse's ass pokes his head into my room and yells, go Yankees. Because he sees some sort of delusional parallel. It's in jest, of course, because these are my friends. Apparently, these are my friends, comma, apparently. My question is, do you think if the Cubs start winning and spending more money, our public identity will go from lovable losers to spurned victors like the Yankees? Let's hope so.
My initial reaction to this is kind of like when the Red Sox won for the first time in, what, 03 or 04? In forever. I think that the overall sentiment will be people will be happy for the Cubs.
I think so, too.
Yeah, I think it's absolutely nuts for them to sign one big-name free agent in, like, years since Soriano. And somebody says that they're like the Yankees and they're just buying a team. I mean, honestly, right. I wouldn't let that get to you too much, Tim, because, I mean, man, you got to be a certain level of dumb to think that.
Or at least ignorant of what's going on.
That, right. And fans of other teams may or may not know. They probably don't know what's going on in the Cubs minor league system. Or maybe they've just heard of it. So, yeah.
I would reply with, and who is the other person that the other big money guy that they went out and bought,
or reply with what's the number one farm system in baseball right now?
Right. And that's like, I think that if the Cubs, you know, if this thing plays out like we want it to play out, I am completely fine with other fans in baseball hating us. If we've won three championships in 4 years, like, you know, that will not bother me a bit, but yeah. I think that people will also look at it because the Cubs aren't, you know, even 2-3 years down the road, they're set with a lot of positions. They're not going, because of the way they did this, they're not going to have to go out and buy big free agents like the Yankees have to, because we have such a strong system. And so I think that a lot of fans, you know, I hate the fact that the Cardinals are like perennially in the World Series and the playoffs and everything. But at the same time, it's like, well, they did it the right way. You know, I guess, I mean, you hear a lot of people say that, but they did it the cheaper way. They did it the homegrown way. A lot of their players, and then they fill in when, you know, they bring in, you know,
a play. Jason Hayward.
Yeah. I mean, that was even through a trade. Yeah. So, I don't know. I don't know what to tell you, Tim. I think they're just pushing your buttons.
Yep.
Listen, take it from a Notre Dame fan. People like to just push your buttons.
Corey is used to being hated, so he's looking forward to being hated even more.
Yes. Benjamin says, do you guys ever think about what, if anything, would satisfy the Cubs fans that flex their internet muscles? I don't know. I mean,
I don't think anything would.
Really. Well, I think the Cubs are just like this thing just falling flat on their face. You know, this, if none of these prospects worked out, then I think that would satisfy them, because then they were right.
It's becoming increasingly clear that nothing will satisfy some people.
Right.
Yeah.
Like after what recent developments, it's like, I was thinking, okay, well, now finally, just even the most steadfast doubters will come around, and it's not the case in some instances.
Yeah.
But isn't it kind of amazing? Like, if you watch baseball, like, why the hell else do you watch baseball other than it's kind of fun? Like, it's why we do this podcast. It's why we talk about baseball. If you can watch baseball and there's zero fun in it, what the hell are you doing? Go do something else.
Well, that's what I can't figure out. I mean, no offense to any of our listeners out there that are active on like Cubs.com, but I going through it to try to find internet muscle flexes, I think, these dudes are just wasting their lives away arguing like on the internet. Like, is there nothing better to, I mean, watch the History Channel or something. I don't know. Watch some documentaries. Do something. Get into gardening. I don't know.
It's so sad.
It's so crazy. Johnny says, do you think Go Cubs Go will be played after wins, given the WGN reference in the song?
I kind of think it will.
I hope it's not. I don't want to hear that song anymore. I mean, like,
I think they'll keep going with it. I mean, it's because it's so ingrained that everyone just kind of looked the other way.
Yeah, I mean, I get that, I guess. And, you know, when I go to games and they win, yeah, you know, whoever I'm there with will sing it, you know. But it, like, I don't know. I just don't like it that it became a thing. And then it is what it is, I guess. But it worked well. It was really fun when the Cubs were really good in 07 and 08 and they started doing that. But over these past like 5 years, it's kind of pathetic to like celebrate a win. But I don't know. I would be perfectly fine with seeing that disappear. But
I guess I would say, like, I don't know, for the people at the ballpark, it is kind of fun, like you said. So if it can just be that, that's okay. I mean, it doesn't have to be anything more than that.
And I think, I don't think they will. Like, I think if they tried to change it to take WGN out of that song, it would be so weird. Like, it would be the most awkward thing because people would still sing WGN. And yeah, I don't know. I can't see them trying to like change the lyrics of it. But
yeah.
All right. Well, before we get into thanks to everybody that sent in those questions. I ask for questions usually on Sunday mornings. I'll post on our Facebook page, but you can email them to me, Corey@IVMV.com, or tweet them to us at any point, and we'll include them in the episode. Before we get to our internet muscle flexes, you've still got some time to do your holiday shopping. And if you do any shopping on Amazon, don't forget to go through our site, IVMV.com, and click on the Amazon link on the side of the page. Amazon gives us a percentage of your purchase, and it doesn't cost you anything extra. And thanks to everybody that's been shopping on Amazon through our site. It helps a lot, and we really appreciate it. So, Andy, Kurt, you said you didn't have an internet muscle.
I found one.
Oh, okay.
So, yes, I do.
Yeah, I have one now, too.
Okay. I have three. So how about... No, I have four.
Mine is kind of nice that it's like an epiphany.
Okay. Why don't you go ahead?
All right. So it's not really like a flex. It does not fit in the traditional someone flexing on someone else, but it's kind of funny. But somebody just randomly posted on one of the John Lester articles. And they said, does anyone ever wonder if any of these players ever read our comments and think, dang, is that really what these people think of me? I highly doubt they do, and if they do, they probably don't care. No shit. Like, you think they're sitting around reading these Cubs.com and thinking, whoa, these people don't like me.
Wait, they called me Ed Luz. Oh, man. All right, Andy, go ahead with yours.
All right, so somebody on Cubs.com posted a tweet from like not a real Paul Sullivan Twitter handle,
right?
You know, it's somebody's fake Paul Sullivan Twitter handle. So it's this fake Sullivan reporting a trade. Here's the trade: Cubs get Hamels. The Cubs send Jorge Soler, Javier Baez, and Kyle Hendricks to Phillies. Cubs get Cole Hamels, outfielder Dominic Brown. And so, you know, people establish that it's a fake Sullivan, blah, blah, blah. And then, you know, somebody even like chimes in, I like this trade, you know, and starts going into that. But finally, somebody says they have to throw in Papelbon, Bird, and Sandberg to make that deal work for me. And somebody responds to that comment saying, pretty sure Sandberg can't play second base at an MLB level anymore. And he wouldn't want to be on the same coaching staff as Dave Martinez.
Oh, man. Oh, geez. We got to take it there. Oh, I did see that one, actually. All right, so I got four of them here, I think. I don't know. I copy and paste these weird, so I'm not sure what I have. One of them is in response to a Cardinals fan. I think a Cardinals fan kind of like said something nice about, you know, the moves that the Cubs are making and the team and stuff like that. And a person responds, I have a lot of respect for how the Cardinals run their team. Some of their fans are absolutely incredible and knowledgeable people. Some, well, let's just say that they make a good case to keep abortion legal. LOL.
Oh, my God.
And he followed up with an LOL.
Oh, it started out so innocent. Like, you know, there's some pretty nice people in St. Louis. Most the LOL of them should trying, have been aborted.
Is the LOL trying to soften the blow? Like, I think so.
Oh, but then, no, wait a minute. There's more. At the bottom, this is part of the same comment. He says, after he said, well, let's just say they make a good case for keeping abortion legal. LOL. You guys do have a way of finding a way to keep your pitchers healthy, though.
Oh. I love it.
A lot of vitamins. That's
so good. This might be our first abortion reference.
Oh man, I don't know. I should have saved that one for last. Let's see. Well, oh man, I'm gonna skip the other two. I mean, they're muscle flexes, but I don't know, not as good. But this one I found, Andy. What before we started recording, I told you I had one that is not a muscle flex. What did you call it? You call it like a 4S or something.
Oh, yeah, yeah, 4S times 4 or 4S, something stupid someone said.
Yes, this falls under, this is not an internet muscle flex, this is a S times 4. commenter, so this is about the Cubs television stuff and everything. The commenter says, I can listen to Cubs radio on Sirius XM. I'm tempted to move to Inwood, Iowa, 30 miles away, so I can get Comcast Sports. What?
Where is Inwood, Iowa? I need to look this up.
I don't know.
I'm tempted to move there.
Never heard of it. I'm going to move 30 miles away.
Inwood or Kenwood?
It says Inwood. Inwood.
I just Googled it. Oh, Inwood. I'm moving there.
Let's see. Maps.google.com.
Yeah, that's where I am.
I don't know. I just thought that one was funny. That somebody was going to move 30 miles just so they could get Comcast Sports. There's cheaper ways of getting that, by the way.
Oh my God. Inwood, Iowa is like the north. It's like the western, really west Iowa.
I will tell you, though, they do have a convenience store named Little Chubbs. It shows up on Google Maps, Little Chubbs.
Chubbs, Inwood, Iowa. I'm doing Street View in Inwood, Iowa right now.
This would make for, like, we should have a separate podcast where we just, like, Google things and laugh about it.
I'm walking down Main Street in Inwood. That's how awesome the internet is.
All right. Well, that is it for this week's episode. This episode was brought to you by the Hall of Fame level contributors to our Patreon campaign, Jeremy Dallas from Australia, Dave, Charles, Andrew, Jane, Tony, Shane, and Michael from Colorado. Big thanks to those of you that support us at the associate producer level, Joshua, Anthony, and Michael. And we'd also like to thank Clint from Ontario, Canada. He started supporting us through the Patreon just today. So thank you, Clint. Patreon is an easy way for you to keep the podcast going and help us fund some things that we'd like to do in the future with IVMV. Pledging starts as low as $1 a month, and there are perks at every level. You can check it out by going to patreon.com/ivyenvy. That's patreon.com/ivyenvy. Stick around to the very end of this episode and listen to Danny Rocket's song celebrating the Lester signing. And thanks for downloading and listening. Thanks to those of you that watched us live tonight. And until next Sunday evening, go Cubs.
Lester Day, the World Series seems so far away. Now I can't wait for opening day. 2015 starts Lester Day. Suddenly, the Cubs have an ace who's a lefty. Can't wait to watch him pitch at Wrigley. John Lester is a Cubby. Thank you to Theo, 'cause you got John Lester paid. We'll remember you when the Cubs go all the way. Lester Day, we told MLB we came to play. Plus we stole Joe Maddon from the Rays. And last year we ripped off the A's. Cubs are spending Joe Montero behind the plate. It's been 6 long years since the playoffs in 08. Lester Day, the Cubs could be in a pennant race. The damn Cardinals in second place. Oh, I believe in Lester Day.